This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And today I'm really excited to have a new guest with us, Ray Merriman of MMAcycles.com and the Merriman Market Analyst. So thanks for joining us, Ray. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you, Tony.
So we're going to talk a bit about cycles and some great information that you've been sharing in your free weekly newsletter. But I thought you could start by telling our listeners a little bit about the focus of your work at Merriman Market Analyst.
Fine. Good. Well, the Merriman Market Analyst, or MMA, deals in market timing techniques and methodology that I put together over the last 40 years. So the company itself is primarily service and product oriented. We offer an annual forecast book. That's our most popular item that comes out in December of every year with our outlook for the next year. And we have a monthly newsletter called the MMA Cycles Report. Now that's been present since 1982. And we have, you know, clients all over the world who've been subscribing to that since then. We also have a weekly report for active traders and a daily report. Every day I write a daily report on 8 different markets for our very active traders. And in addition to that, I've written several books, helped develop a software program, and we do webinars occasionally too. So we sell these products. MP4s, books, and software elements as well.
Thanks for sharing that. And folks, even though Ray's work does include a lot of information on the stocks and stock analysis and trading, there's also a lot of other information that I think just the general public would be very interested in as well. I love your annual book, and there's a lot of great information even in the newsletter. I have to admit to skipping through some of the trading information myself because I'm not a trader, but I love your newsletter for the astrological insights.
Well, you know, half of our clients are astrologers because astrologers are doing well in the 21st century and they're interested in the astrology part plus the overview of the markets. But the other half are market people and they're interested a little bit in the astrology too. They know there's something there that helps me with my market timing. So I got a nice mixture of market people and astrological knowledgeable people.
And you're not just working alone either. You have a whole team of people doing research as well. Can you tell folks a little bit about your team?
Well, in 2013, 2015, I put together what I call the MMTA, the Merriman Market Timing Academy. And I had 40 people sign up for it for a 2-year course. They traveled from all over the world, 40 people. And 20 of them actually graduated, stayed with me for 2 years because it's not an easy course. And of those 20, I took the top 9 or 10, and I hired them to write on different markets. So I keep myself focused on the stock markets and the precious metals markets, but I have my graduates who are now analysts themselves write about treasuries, interest rates, currencies, commodities, crude oil, soybeans, things like that. So yeah, we have a team of 9 different analysts right now who've been trained by me. Who know my methodology and can write about it in the weekly or the monthly reports. And occasionally I have them write in the annual report too.
Cool stuff. That's really great. It's a real solid operation that you have going there. Reds, congrats on that for getting that together. Yeah.
Yes, it's worked out well. It's evolved very nicely here, especially since then. Because, you know, after I finished writing those books on the stock market timing, which, by the way, that took me 15 years to complete, 5 volumes over 1,600 pages. It's all quantitative research on cycles and astrology, long-term, short-term. But after I finished that, I thought, wow, what's next? What can I do next? And I thought, well, the thing to do is teach people. I have to get some apprentices for my work so this knowledge that I put together remains out there for people who want to learn how to apply these market timing methods that aren't available anywhere else, really.
Right. One of the things I really appreciate is that not only is it research-based, but you're kind of demonstrating how you can't just go by the numbers. At the end of the day, you have to kind of make a call or make a judgment based on the numbers and the cycles. And I think you do a great job of that, of demonstrating what that could look like.
That's true. I use cycle studies, and I've done a lot of work in that, showing the numbers that go with how often these markets will bottom or top out without any astrology. And then I play astrology, and I've gone back and researched, how many times they make 4% or greater reversals or 10% or greater reversals under each aspect of each two planets. So that helps narrow the time band down. Then technical analysis, and then chart patterns with trend analysis. You're putting all this together. And sometimes these studies aren't congruent. They're not complementing each other. In fact, that's the way it probably has to be, because market timing is a leading indicator. Okay. So if your leading indicator says, hey, you got a top coming up here, your technicals aren't going to show that. The technicals are strong. They're bullish. So you'd have to make some judgments here. And that's the art and the science and the challenge of what I do. Yeah.
Well said, well said. The art, the science, and the challenge, yes. Yep. I love it. Well, getting to some specifics, I wanted to talk about some astrology stuff, and we're in the midst of all this COVID-19 business right now.
Yeah.
That is a health crisis unfolding, and definitely correlating with what we saw coming this year, with beginning with the Saturn-Pluto exact conjunction in January. But in the March 30th edition of your MMA Cycles newsletter, and this is in 2020 when we're recording this, you start off with a couple of quotes about the market possibly rebounding after the public health crisis stabilizes, if it does. In previous writing, you quoted Ben Bernanke predicting that we were headed for a drop-off anyway. In fact, using the analogy of Wile E. Coyote jumping off a cliff. That was what Ben Bernanke said, because a stimulus was applied to the economy at a time when it didn't need it. That was his analysis.
Correct.
And it turns out the economy did take a sharp turn in 2020, but not because of something we could say organic to the economy, but definitely related to this health crisis that we're in. And still the timing worked out pretty well according to your forecasting, where you were predicting an 85% chance of a downturn. But what do you make of that? And do you still think that we could be headed for more of a drop-off after the crisis stabilizes?
Yeah, let me talk about cycles for a second here. Because the reason I was forecasting that there would be a sharp downturn, I think I had March, April period, give or take a couple months, was because you have a pre-presidential election cycle, okay? And almost 80% of cases during the year you have an election, there is a big drop between October and March prior to the election. So since this book was written in October, November, and the markets were still making highs at that point, the idea was we'd still bottom somewhere before March, ideally. Then within cycles themselves, we call a 50-week cycle. And that can extend anywhere from 34 to 67 weeks. When you use that interval of time, there's like a 91% rate of frequency of good declines in the U.S. stock market. Well, that ended April 10th. That's the 67th week. So I had a pretty good idea it's going to be a drop before April 10th. And on top of that, we call the four-year cycle, which, like all cycles, divides in either two or three equal sections. Well, one-third section, 6.5 months from the big crash we had in December of 2018. Remember that Christmas crash we had a little over a year ago? Well, 16 months later would take you to April, give or take 3 months. So I had a pretty good idea that we're going to get a bottom here by March and probably no later than April 10th. So that part fit really well. And that's organic, that's cycles. And it had nothing to do with it had nothing that I knew ahead of time would do with the pandemic. But the point is, those are not the longest term cycles. Those are intermediate term cycles. So I knew there'd be a good decline then, maybe about 7.5% to 20%. But looking further ahead, we have a bigger decline coming up. That's the 6.5 year cycle. Okay. And that is due in 2020 to 2023. And I'm associating that more with Saturn Uranus.
Okay.
You go back in history and look at Saturn Uranus, especially the squares, but any Saturn Uranus hard aspect. There's an awful lot of cases. I can't tell you exact number, maybe 80, 90% of cases where the market does have a pretty good decline, like 26 all the way to 90% in the Great Depression it happened. So I was expecting the final low to be somewhere around 2022, give or take a year. And again, now based on astrology, you can also go back and look at the 7 times that Saturn and Pluto were in a hard aspect. And within 1 calendar year, Saturn and Uranus were in a hard aspect. All 7 times you had that decline of 26, 89%. Most of them are around 30 to 55%. So that's what I'm looking for, a 30 to 55% decline. And it never happens before those aspects. The high is always during those aspects. And half the time it happens before the Saturn Uranus, half the time it happens the first part of Saturn Uranus. But then the low happens during Saturn Uranus or within 2 years afterwards. Okay. So my theory based on cycles, based on the astrology cycles and based on rhythmic cycles, that we would have a first downturn due by April, March of 2020. We'd have a good rally after that. I wasn't sure if we'd make a new high. I gave a 50-50 chance to make a new high. I don't even give 50-50 anymore because we fell so much.
Right.
But then from that second high, and we're going to get that, we're in that second high period, I think. But from that second high, then I think we do go even lower to the final bottom, 2022, give or take 1 year. Then I think we're stable. So that's the cycles part of it. That's the astrology part of it. And I didn't anticipate what happened quite this fast that we'd get beyond 20%. But we are. It's happening now, and I don't think it's going to be done until we get to 2021, 2022, 2023.
And for those of you who don't know, Ray's talking about the right now we're in the lead up to this. Well, we're in the beginning of the Saturn-Uranus square. Saturn has just entered Aquarius, and Uranus is in Taurus, and Saturn's applying to square Uranus as we speak. And that square will just tighten up and then over the next couple of years repeat. So
it's that's the cycle. Too, Tony, as you look at that Saturn-Uranus coming up, it's following the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in early Aquarius. Then they're both going to square Uranus. And you go back to the dot-com bubble burst, and it was the opposite. You had Jupiter-Uranus in Taurus square Saturn in a – it was the other way. The other way – let me get this right now. Uranus – was in Aquarius then, and Jupiter and Saturn were in Taurus. Now the reverse.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, it's hard to imagine how we could be, like people have talked about the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius coming in December of this year of 2020 as heralding
on the solstice.
As heralding a new dawn of an information age. And I'm like, how could it be even more? It just feels like we're so in it, but I guess we'll see how it increases then.
Well, I think what's happening then is when Jupiter and Uranus, Jupiter and Saturn go into Aquarius, which breaks the Earth cycle. I mean, you always get an Earth cycle, then an air, then an Earth again, then you're finally into the air cycle. And so I think what we're looking at is a movement away from the Earth element emphasis, which is materialism, power, control. And we're moving more into giving greater value, again, to information and knowledge. Somebody asked me the other day, well, do you think it might be wisdom? And that's an interesting intellectual conversation to have. I think you need knowledge as a prelude to wisdom, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee wisdom, obviously.
Right.
And I'm not so sure that the air signs are going to be wisdom. Right. I think when we get to the air signs moving toward water signs, where you get the knowledge applied with compassion, then I think you get the wisdom. But
that's
a great point. Would offer that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, in the March 30th newsletter, and this is part of your weekly newsletters, you make a great point about the fear associated with the end of planetary cycles And then the hope represented by new ingresses. So as yes. one cycle comes to an end and then it starts a new cycle. This is important because you point out that we're in one of those moments right now. Can you say more about that and tell our listeners about the specifics of this particular transition?
The whole idea of the end of a cycle comes from my studies of markets. You know, when we talk about market cycles, we're talking about low to low, not the highs. The highs can be anywhere between those lows, and that's called the crest. So you have periodicities that are in pretty tight orbs where markets make bottoms. You know, you get them 18 weeks apart, you get them 4 years apart, you get them 18 years apart. So when you get to the end of a market cycle, the market's coming down. The end of a cycle is always bearish, and the beginning of a new cycle is not bearish. Is bullish, although it could be slowly bullish, but it is bullish. You don't take out the bottom. So I thought, why doesn't that apply also to astrology? Because planets move in cycles too. And that was the gist of that article. Because between March 20th and April 4th, we had four major conjunctions involving, well, Mars to each of the outer planets and Jupiter to Pluto. So March 20th, you had Mars-Jupiter conjunct. March 23rd, you had Mars-Pluto conjunct. March 31st, Mars-Saturn conjunct. And of course, last weekend, you had Jupiter conjunct Pluto. That's a lot of conjunctions in a short amount of time involving the outer planets and Mars as a trigger.
Right.
And plus, you had Jupiter-Pluto, which is a major cycle. I mean, it's one of the outer planets, two of the outer planets. So my thought was, as we're going into the end of these planetary cycles, that could also be a time of fear, anxiety, hysteria, panic, and which, of course, is what we're going through, especially since we don't know what the result's going to be. So I had this idea, well, it looks like the markets will bottom around that time because all those cycles were due then anyway that you and I just talked about, the pre-presidential election cycle, the 50-week cycle, the 16-and-a-half-month cycle. They were all due as these planets were ending their cycles or planetary cycles. So planetary cycles begin, I believe, with the conjunction. It's sort of like a waxing waning thing. When you're waning going toward the conjunction, things are becoming more and more obsolete, less and less applicable, useful. But there's new ideas being generated that once we get past the conjunction and they start waxing, they start going into a growth cycle. You see these new reality starting to develop. So my thought was that the stock market would bottom then and start a rally, which it has now. It's been up, what, over close to today. As of today, it's over 4,000 points, the low we had on March 23rd. And we're starting to see the rate of incidence of COVID-19 starting to stabilize. I mean, they've been parabolically going up. Now they're starting to stabilize. In some states, it's even starting to show some declining rates of incidence. I don't know how long that's going to last, but that fits with the idea that we're coming out of hysteria and we're starting to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And of course, like probably most astrologers, maybe yourself too, I'm a little worried that as we get better and better news out there, that we go into mid-May and see all those retrograde planets coming up, that we might get a little complacent and relapse.
Yeah, in the newsletter you wrote, the retrogrades of mid-May indicate a temptation by our leaders to claim victory too soon. And if mm-hmm. we don't continue with the reforms to protect one another that we've begun to take seriously and which are beginning to show positive results, we could be in danger of a relapse. And yep. This is because, I'm assuming you're saying this because we've only had the first of the Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions, yep. and we've got two more, June 30th and November 12th, the last one being right after the U.S. election. Yes. So what do you think this longer Jupiter-Pluto cycle seems to be asking of us this year? I mean, are you suggesting that, like, if we don't take the reforms, if we, like, loosen up too much, we might be in danger of a relapse? So are you suggesting that we maybe be a bit more prudent with all of
that's
that,
always the message of Pluto. I mean, when you have a hard Pluto aspect in the heavens, which affect the whole world, or to your own chart, you're not going to get out unscathed thinking that I beat it. you don't beat Pluto. And Pluto beats you, but you don't beat Pluto until you submit, you know, until you surrender. Once you surrender and say, okay, I'm powerless over this. I really have to change things because I can't go back the way that things were because they're not going to be the way that they were. Once you adapt to that, once you accept that, once you surrender to that and make that reform in your own behavior, then you get the healing power of Pluto. And the same thing goes with the world. We're under this Jupiter-Pluto, which is extreme measures. We're under extreme measures. We're all quarantined and staying at home and, you know, have all kinds of anxieties involving economics. But the point is that, you know, once we accept and adapt to this, we can get the economy going again. We can get our lives going again. Certainly as astrologers, it's actually a positive time for our economics, I think, because people need us at this time. They need the kind of understanding that we have that they don't have available anywhere else. We deal in time. So, you know, the idea that what's the purpose or what's the lesson behind this Jupiter-Pluto, I think we want to be careful not to go into our Jupiter optimism too quickly, because Pluto's not done. Okay. If we do go into optimism too quickly, I think Jupiter is going to hit us right back again. And don't forget, when we get to the fall, the next flu season, Mars is going to be up there squaring those planets now. Right now, it's a conjunction. I don't think the square, it's a waxing square. I don't look at the waxing square as being quite as challenging as a conjunction. A waning square, I would. To me, a waxing square is like the pain of birth. You're already waxing. You're going forward, but you got a crisis here you got to solve to continue the forward march. When it's a waning square, I think it's more terminal. Okay, so I'm not quite so afraid of this waxing square, but I do think we could have a relapse during that time next winter, next flu season, if we don't continue these practices of changing our behavior, changing the way we interact with each other, which really comes down to, you know, caring for each other, protecting each other, working with each other cooperatively as a human family, if you will, to overcome this threat to our health and to heal us individually and heal us as societies. If we can continue these practices that lead to the healing, we'll be okay. I think we'll come out of this. It may take about a year, and that's when they're expecting the vaccines and all that to come out, which I'm not so sure that's a good thing, but that is going to come out. I believe the vaccines will come out within a year. But more important than that is to register the lessons that we're learning from this transformation that's been demanded of us in our behavior toward one another, and really our behavior toward how we handle our dealings with the earth itself.
Definitely. And it's such an intense year for the convergence of all these cycles layered on top of each other. And then going back to what we were talking about earlier with the end of the Jupiter Saturn conjunctions in Earth, which happened. Yes. We've talked about that a lot. I think our listeners are pretty familiar with that at this point. Right. But if you're not, the short version is we're coming out of a roughly 200-year cycle where we're going to see a whole series now of just air conjunctions. And so it really is a sea change. Yes. And this pandemic could serve as a catalyst for deeper structural changes, because we've all, I mean, not all of us, but a lot of us, the majority of us maybe, have been asked to stop and stay in place and change how we're, at least change the speed of how we're interacting with the world, if nothing else, and some of us in even deeper ways. And of course, some people are in deep states of crisis where they have lost their job and don't know when they're going to be able to work again. Yes. But even for those people, if there is an opportunity, if we want to say that there is one, it could be that that does present an opportunity to make a deeper change. You know, maybe if somebody...
Absolutely. Well, that's the lesson of not only the three planets conjunct in Capricorn, mm-hmm. but two of them involving Pluto. We talked about Jupiter-Saturn, but there's the Jupiter-Pluto, which you've also mentioned, and the Saturn-Pluto, and in Capricorn. So we're talking, and this we could, this I think all astrologers were able to forecast. This would be a year of structural changes, okay? Changes in the economy, changes in government, changes in central bank policy, you know, there's a lot of demands on reforming all of these structural things, and the old ways of behavior and dealing with structures and limitations, if you will, and boundaries, they're not working. We got to create new boundaries. We got to break down those old boundaries and create new boundaries that actually, I think, are more Capricornian, protective, safeguards for the future. And hopefully we learn the lessons from this so we don't have these types of consequences again from our complacency.
Definitely. Well, you know, a very common question I've been getting, and I know you've been getting too, because you mentioned it in the newsletter, is clients calling up and saying, when is this going to end? So do you want to say just a few words about how you respond to that question? One of the things you said in the newsletter is, I don't know.
I don't know exactly when it's going to end. I mean, I have, you know, as a market timer using astrology, I have these periods of time where I think the energies, the planetary energies, if you will, are most intense. And one of them was March 20th to the 31st, maybe even until today, April 7th. I mean, that's when all those conjunctions were happening. And I did think that's the height of hysteria, of panic, and that's going to change. Doesn't mean that the cases of coronavirus or deaths from it stop. I don't think that's going to happen. But this is the panic time. Right. Now, the next time that comes up is when Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn go retrograde, May 10th to the 14th. And I think it was back in 1998, 2000 that I began to talk about the importance of retrogrades, that they're not just like an aspect that comes and goes quickly. They actually highlight that planetary energy for up to 1 or 2 degrees, which in the case of Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto, and Neptune, that can last for a few weeks. And so here's three of them at once. And Venus retrograde has a very important and consistent correlation to market lows or highs, long-term lows or highs. You might remember the, I'm digressing here just a second.
That's okay.
But the bottom on March 9th, 2008, the bottom of the Great Recession was Venus retrograde. And the top we had in the last Venus retrograde was the top we had in October 2018, after which the Federal Reserve Board started raising rates and the market crashed. Mm-hmm. We had a mini panic then, which is a prelude to what we're going through now. So that was the last Venus retrograde. So Venus retrograde has a pretty good legacy for timing important changes in the markets, and usually as a result of central bank or economic and sometimes political changes involving fiscal policy, monetary policy. Well, how we handle the money. And so I'm thinking the same thing is going to happen. There's going to be something happening in May where the political things, the politicians may say, okay, it's okay to go back to work. You know, people start going back to work, they can relax a little bit. And if people relax too much with Venus retrograde, especially Jupiter and Saturn retrograde, my concern is, you know, the virus is still out there. It's not totally controlled. It's okay to go back to work if you're not going to expose other people or put yourself in an exposing situation, but we have to continue these measures, whether it's wearing face masks, whether it's, you know, a sanitary, wiping our hands with sanitary tissues. We have to continue these things because we get too lax, especially with the warm weather. It will seem like we're overcoming it. And then when we get Mars into Aries hitting that square again, it comes back. That's my concern, that it comes back, and that really pushes the economy down into that bottom I'm looking for in 2021, 2022 period.
Yeah, and
so people ask me, when's it going to end? So I have three places I'm looking at. One is right now, but I don't think it's ending. I just think the rate of increase is ending now. May, it's going to seem like it's ending. The next one is the second Jupiter-Pluto passage, Tony, when late June, because then you got three other planetary stations. You got Mercury going retrograde, Neptune going retrograde, Venus going direct. That's important. I think by that time, once we get past that, we'll know whether or not we have to cancel large gatherings in the fall, for instance, like the ESAR conference. We'll know what to plan for the fall at least. But we're going to have a testing period there, I believe, in mid-May through late June. And so I won't know until, I may not even know after then, but my suspicion is that it looks like it's getting better by the end of June. but it could come back again in the fall.
Yeah, which is awkward timing if you're planning those fall events based on the information at the end of June, and then it kind of does sneak back in. But we will just do what we can. It's not hard to imagine, as you were describing that, that after being so pent up, that people just want to get out there and that some people are careless. It's also not to imagine some other people being especially careful. So I think probably we could predict some mix of that.
Well, think of yourself, you know, as an astrologer. I mean, we're part of the astrology community, and your listeners are part of the astrology community. Wouldn't you be kind of excited to hear what 120 of the top astrologers in the world are thinking now that we've gone through this and the opportunity to get together and share these ideas in person?
Yeah.
I think we really want that, and I think we're going to be very excited about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think, personally, I think we're going to be okay at that point to do that. That's my hope, of course.
Yeah.
And the relapse that I'm seeing, the coming back, but I don't think it, you know, I don't think that's going to be more until we get to late October, November in that period.
Right.
So I think we've got a little window of time there, especially given that Jupiter will be direct at that time.
Right.
Sun will be trine Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto. Mars is retrograde, but it's in its ruling sign. So I think there's a window of time there that we have a chance of convening still.
And it's just the beginning of the Mars retrograde. And I like how you pointed out that, you know, the Mars retrograde means that square, even if it's a bit lighter as you're hoping relative to the conjunction, that period will last longer. You know, Mars will be in Aries longer because of the retrograde. So that's important to point out. I also loved how you pointed out when you said you don't beat Pluto until you surrender, because we were just teaching Pluto in a course we did on the outer planets, and we were using Howard Sportis's book, Gods of Change, where he tells the Hydra myth.
Wonderful.
Where, you know, in order for Hercules to beat the Hydra, the first thing he has to do is kneel down. So he has to sort of bow down in the muck of the mess of Pluto before he can ultimately defeat the Hydra. And that's just such a great image for what we need to do now is to.
Well, consider also what Pluto's doing to some very significant charts in our world economy and government. I'm one who believes that the United States chart is July 2nd, when the vote was completed, which would be when Moon was conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. We're having Pluto return, but it's also Pluto on our Moon on July 2nd chart.
Okay.
So it's hitting the U.S. chart. It's hitting Donald Trump's chart, suppose his Venus and Saturn. It's hitting the Federal Reserve Board chart. It's Jupiter opposite Mars, Neptune. It's hitting Jerome Powell's chart. It's hitting the chart of China. It's hitting China's stock exchange. It's hitting the New York Stock Exchange. We all got planets.
Starting to see a pattern.
All between 22 and 27 degrees. And even the first stock market of the world, the Karen Hammack is on, Doug talks about the modern day stock exchange. It has Jupiter 25 of Aries. Mm-hmm. So all these charts, 22, 27 degrees of cardinal signs being hit by Pluto. So something big is happening, and we're just in the beginning part of that. We're feeling the health part of it, but there's an economic transformation that's got to take place here too.
And it's not just in the United States. It's
worldwide.
It's worldwide.
It's all over. Yeah, this is true.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Ray. It's been a pleasure. I hope to have you back on the show again soon. But before you go, could you tell listeners a little bit about how to get involved more with your work if they're interested, how to sign up for your newsletters and your upcoming events?
Very easy. Just go to our website, mmacycles.com, stands for Merriman Market Analyst. So mmacycles.com. There's a link right there on the front screen that says, if you want to receive our free weekly column, we'll put you on a distribution list and send it directly to you. You don't have to go to the website. We'll just send it to you as soon as it's ready. And that's how you begin to learn about us, through our website and through the free weekly column that I write every Friday night.
Well, thanks, Ray. And I recommend you sign up for the newsletter, folks. If you want to get a sample of what they're doing there. And Ray does some great webinars. He did a great webinar. I think you can still get the recording of the 2020 forecast, right, Ray?
Yes, that was in February. We got another one coming up May 17th. We're going to review the forecast for 2020 and make some adjustments to it since we did fall so hard in the stock market.
Yeah.
That's coming up May 17th.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Ray. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. Pleasure being with you.
Take care. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.